actually, my concept is visualizing the miscommunication.
Mm-hmm.
So when I making the sound work or installation work or painting, then gradually the lines coming up. So mm-hmm. I didn't realize it's calligraphy.
Was mit Kunst? Ein Podcast von und mit Johann König.
Today's guest is a Japanese painter, Etsu Egami. Welcome, Etsu.
Hello, nice meeting you.
Your exhibition, Melody, features different singers from, or musicians from Mozart to Freddie Mercury to personal friends you have. But maybe before we get into your exhibition here at Königgalerie St. Agnes in the chapel, I would like to understand, how did you get into art? Like, when did the possibility of making art surface?
When I was a child, I also loved painting. And also my family, some of my grandfather was collecting art.
Mm-hmm.
And also my dad also do some art. So it also influenced me. But I went to the high school. It's like only for most of my friends go to the University of Tokyo or become a doctor or lawyer. So I think I'm the only one want to be an artist. So it's actually unusual in that environment. But I really want to chase my dreams, and I really enjoyed making art. So it's a natural way for me. Yeah.
But your father was not a professional artist.
He's a physicist.
Mm-hmm.
He have a PhD of physics. It's a fractal or mathematics physics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then he also do some art also, because his father is also a collector. Mm-hmm. So he also teaching me calligraphy when I'm a child.
And calligraphy plays an important role in your practice. So you were practicing calligraphy, and then somehow the calligraphy, which is, I think, traditionally Chinese mm-hmm. influence on Japanese sort of typewriting.
Mm-hmm.
And from the calligraphy, the paintings you do, which I would describe between abstract and figurative,
mm-hmm.
Depending on the distance from afar, they seem more clear. And the closer you get, they become more abstract.
Mm-hmm.
You studied art in China.
Mm-hmm.
Was it driven because of calligraphy?
Yeah, it's a good question, because I do calligraphy when I'm a child, but my dad told me how to enjoy the process of calligraphy, not only because in Japan, when you are like elementary school student, you need to do calligraphy, like every student need to do. But my dad also teach me how to enjoy the process of calligraphy. And also, as you said, calligraphy itself, it came from the images, then become the language itself. So there's a between abstract and also there's many meanings for
mm-hmm,
me.
Mm-hmm.
But I go to the university in Beijing. I went to the oil painting class.
Yeah.
So that time I just study how to do oil paintings. And also in Kafa in Beijing, the training is very classic. So we need to have a very strict training how to make a classical oil painting. You can say it's a social realism, but
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
it's a very traditional style. So it's after when I training very classical oil painting, then gradually I put some calligraphy. It's unconsciously I put the calligraphy in my painting.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel some touch or some lines in my painting.
Like the strokes.
Yeah, like the
mm-hmm,
strokes.
Mm-hmm. And when you say the calligraphy, so originally the calligraphy originated from images which got sort of symbolized in the calligraphy types.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yeah, it's originally it came from the images, then become the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're chasing the origin of every calligraphy, it's an image in
mm-hmm.
every calligraphy. Yeah.
And then the image gets sort of abstracted in a symbol, which is then
yeah.
the calligraphy letter, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so at Kafa, it's a very academic teaching, right? It's like a nude study, And then it's painting, 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 right? It's a very...
yeah, it's a painting, painting.
Yeah, it's a very disciplined and traditional technique. You learn techniques.
Yes, I went to oil painting class, and first year we need to learn classical oil painting. Like, we need to study from Renaissance to the Impressionism and to the post-war. Like, we need to study whole of the oil painting history in these 4 years. So actually it's a very strict training.
And you practice, right?
It's yeah, practice, of course.
Practice, practice, yeah. And how was it for you as a Japanese woman being in China? It's kind of unusual, no? To come from Japan, study in China.
Yeah, it's unusual, I'm sure, because that time many people ask the question, if you want to study oil painting, why don't you go to France or go to US? You choose China. So many people ask the question. But for me, that time I see the Beijing Olympic, and then many Asian art movement introduced in Japanese art magazine. So it's very new for me. And because I was in US and Paris when I was a child. So I think Asian art thing is very vibrant, and I feel some nostalgia in those elements.
Yeah.
So I want to discover why I feel nostalgia from those Asian art thing.
But you were not sort of going back to the roots of calligraphy. That's a coincidence.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't think about calligraphy before, actually, because those painting style, actually, my concept is visualizing the miscommunication.
Mm-hmm.
So when I making the sound work or installation work or painting, then gradually the lines coming up. So I didn't realize it's calligraphy. But 2021, the Boston Museum of Art, the curator inviting me to have an artist talk. So the Boston Museum have tons of antiquities from Asia.
Mm-hmm.
So the curator from Boston Museum, she said, oh, I feel some calligraphy in your painting. Then I realized, oh, maybe the calligraphy influenced me, because I didn't realize that connecting each other. Yeah,
I see. And after China, you also studied in Germany here in Karlsruhe. How did that happen?
Because I love some artists from Germany or the philosopher from Germany. So that time I have occasion to know about Peter Weibel. So he's a director of ZKM in Germany. So he invited me to Germany to do some project and also study there. Yeah.
But that's interesting, because he's very known for media art. So how did that connect to your painting practice?
Yeah, it's an interesting way. I also do some installation. You can see my process of work, for example, in 2016. Because, as I said, I wondering what's the origin of communication, what's the origin of language. So I grew up in many countries. I want to make the miscommunication as a concept. First, I make some project called This Is Not Mishearing Game. So the mishearing game is the project I made. I let the person to participate and give the sound that they couldn't understand. So they need to immediately to think about what this sound sounds like in their mother language. So I record their voice and let them to writing down. So this is the a game I make, and I let many people to participate. It took 7 years. Then I made a big installation called This Is Not Mishearing Game. So it's a sound and video interactive work. So I also make the sound aspect to make art. Then after, when I go to ZKM, I also do the art therapy. So I participate some art therapy program in the hospital. So make some installation related to not the communication between people, and also communication between people to community and people to society. So I think that's all connecting each other.
And in your painting practice, when did you sort of find your language, where you noticed, okay, this is, because it's a very re-recognizable style you established. So they are, you have a certain color palette, but there's a almost like a landscape lines, and then out of these, the portraits sort of grow. But depending on the distance, they appear more abstract or more clear, which I guess also has to do with this idea of miscommunication or, you know, you see something and then you think you see it and then you don't, and it's like changing. When did you find your voice, so to speak, visual voice?
Yeah, the visual voice. Before the visual voice, I do some sound work. Mm-hmm. And the first point is when I went to China, my name, Itsuigami, the calligraphy is same in Japan and China, but the pronunciation is totally different. So my classmate asked me how to pronounce in Japanese. Mm-hmm. So I said it's Egami Etsu, and they are laughing.
Because it's last name first and then first name, right? It's Egami Etsu.
Japan we said it's a family name and the first name.
Yeah.
So I asked why they're laughing about my pronunciation. And one of my classmates told me it sounds like a cup of rice in Northeast dialogue in China. So I think it's very interesting. The same sound become a different images in different people. It's related to their background. So I feel that's maybe a point that I can discover the mystery of language and mystery of communication. So that's why I make the miscommunication, mishearing game, like let people to active miscommunication. So then gradually I let people to participate my mishearing game, and I also want to draw in their faces, because not only the voice and not only the language that we can communicate, but also some researchers said 90% of information came from visual language.
Mm-hmm.
So I think not only the language, but also I want to naturally, I love painting. So it's natural for me to paint their face and how they act like, and how their smile or their angry, all their emotion, I want to draw on my canvas. So then I make the work called Between Sound Wave and Light Wave. So that's the work I recording their voice and also making the portrait of every people participate my mishearing game. So that's the point that I want to use painting to visualize those process of miscommunication or, yes, this mishearing.
Okay, and so are these sort of stripes on the background, did they evolve almost of like sound waves? Is this a visualization of a sound wave?
Yes, I feel like, because that time the work called Between Sound Wave and Light Wave, is there is some touch elements, like stroke elements in my painting, but not really recognizable. Then I feel I hope to more how I can do in the painting language. So then gradually the lines coming up. Mm-hmm, so you can see there's some more parallel lines and distortion, and the line, the face without outline. So that's the interesting thing, that when you see my painting, when you see closer, the painting is very abstract, and you can see very strong emotional touch in the painting.
And almost calligraphy in the starting or ending of the stroke.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But when you have a distance, you can see some, but it depends on the people. People can see the different elements. For example, people will see the landscape, or someone can see the face in the painting.
Yeah.
So I always question about what's recognition nowadays and how we identify things.
And interesting is also calligraphy. It's the same symbol in Chinese and in Japanese, but completely different meaning, right?
Yeah.
Like you have the same symbol or movement of the drawing, but then in China it means one thing, and in Japan another, right? But it's the same calligraphy or symbol.
Yeah, so there's a many miscommunication between, because it's more like a more closer, but more difference, I feel.
Yeah, and now let's look at the pictures we have here in the show. So one large picture is a group of, what is it? It's choreographers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like a dancing scene. Where did this evolve from?
You mean the biggest pink painting?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, that's the painting when I show in here is the latest one. So so first, the topic is melody. So I drew some portrait of singer or musicians, then after that, I feel like the melody is not only like a portrait of musician, but also the line itself have the melody.
Mm-hmm.
So I discovered the communication or the process miscommunication. Then I found the lines in my painting as a painting language, but also the line itself have the meaning of the life or the meaning of connections with people, and also the rhythm and the also emotion in the lines. So I want to like a, as a melody, not only as a portrait, but also the line itself have a melody. And also at the pink painting, I draw like a dancing woman.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see many, it's a very abstract way to paint, but there's many women dancing in the painting.
Yeah. And but then the other one, I mean, we have a, you have a, it's not really a portrait, but there's one from Freddie Mercury to Mozart. That's it's like a big span. How did you choose your hero, so to speak?
I just choose the person I like. And I also always interesting about the history of human being. So I play the piano. So mm-hmm. I also play some the Mozart.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very familiar for me to painting Mozart.
Mm-hmm.
But also I hear some song of Freddie Mercury or John Lennon. So it's very natural for me to painting those portrait and also my friend.
And so, but it's a coincidence, it's all male musicians you paint?
Yeah, it's a coincidence.
Okay, because there's John Lennon, Freddie Mercury, Mozart, and your friend is, who's your friend?
He's a well-known Japanese singer called Yamashita Tomohisa.
Okay. And what type of music is it?
His song is more like a pop music.
Okay.
Like J-pop, we said.
Okay, J-pop, like K-pop, but Japanese.
Yeah, J-pop. Yeah.
It's so as popular as K-pop. Not globally, I guess, no?
But I think in Asia, he's a well-known singer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has many Instagram followers.
You remember Pizzicato 5? They were like very popular in Germany.
Oh.
And I brought them to my friends, Onkawara's children, you know, the Japanese
painter. Yeah.
And I showed it to them because I was sure that like was Japanese music.
Mm.
But then she said that's totally meaningless. There was a Japanese band in Germany, but the context, the texts made like no sense. You know, it was like, it was Japanese. It sounded Japanese, but it was no.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. But it's interesting because it's sort of like what you explained on the cup of rice and the, you know, like lost in translation, the miscommunication and, but I mean, that's the power of abstract or visual art in general, that it's a global language.
Yeah.
You know, and that probably Freddie Mercury or Mozart is as well, and dancing too. Mm. So that's something which is connecting all of us on some level. This evolvement of your practice to have these sort of wave stripes, which then evolve on the, like the backdrop and then the front figure on the other side, that naturally came out of this practice you described before, right?
Yeah.
And in going into the technical part, which I find interesting, you fully work with oil, right?
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I'm not really so experienced in that part, but isn't oil sort of counterintuitive to creating these movements you create on canvas?
Yeah, some people will say, is it acryl or something? Because they feel it's not like a typical like oil painting.
Exactly.
Because
oil
painting is many layers. Because
Takes so long to dry, right?
Yeah. But I love oil painting. And also, question about in Asia, there's many people study oil painting. And also oil painting itself is born in Western countries, but also import in modern time in Asia. So what's the meaning for Asian people to paint oil painting? I feel like this is also some miscommunication side as a material way. And because I do calligraphy and ink painting, so I want to use as an Asian way to paint oil painting. So you can see a brush stroke is very, every stroke is floating down. It's more like water.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I want to discover in those direction.
But isn't the oil brush, because the paintings have a certain vivid, they look as if they were with a certain speed, you know?
Yeah.
But that's something counter oil, you can't really get that movement, no? In with the oil.
Yes, you said speed is also very important in my painting.
Yeah.
Like speed and also the body language.
Yeah.
I mean, not only as a brush stroke, but also I enjoy my body movement in the painting. So I cut in my brush and like a calligraphy brush.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it's a
special
one.
You have this special brush for calligraphy, right? It's very short, no?
Yeah. I make those.
Okay, so it's a combination of slowness and speed.
Yeah.
Mm. Because I mean, oil it takes forever.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mm. And then you pre-draw, but you also you leave the pencil details, and then you also leave void, empty parts.
Mm.
So is that right?
Yeah, it's right.
Yeah. And where do you take the motifs from? From memory or from concrete photos or other etchings or images?
Yes, as a, for example, like John Lennon, of course, I couldn't meet him. So he was already passed away. So I will search his images. And also I read about his book. And he also wrote some letter. So I discover those materials to reconstruct the images and also imagine his color and his movement, then paint. So it also came from memory, but also came from, it's more like a reconstruct the images through those lines.
So, but when you move to the canvas, there's not an image you refer to. It's memory.
Yeah. It's a memory.
A memory influenced image influence memory, and then you work in series. So you did artist series, musician series, or how does it? Is it always a topic, or how does it come together?
I think every project connecting each other. Like for example, like a mishearing game, I paint the person participate my project, and then I paint. And you have a question. You question me about why I use oil painting. So I question why, what does it mean for Asian people to paint oil painting and what the modernity means? Because in Japan and Asia, painting, oil painting also symbolize a modernity. And we import as a technique to modernize, you know. So I think about that direction to draw the portrait of modern painter. You can see my solo show at 2022. Mm-hmm. I have a big solo show in museum in Hiroshima, Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So that museum have tons of modern painting, and including like Van Gogh or Monet, and also Japanese modern painter.
Mm-hmm.
So they invite me to do a solo show. I want to question about my think about modernity and the painting those portrait of modern painter.
Mm-hmm.
So then after I have an invitation by Ginza Six, because Ginza Six have one of the biggest art bookstore in Ginza.
Yeah.
So I also, that time is COVID time, so I also read many books. As I told, I have I think about miscommunication and language problem to make art. So I read many books and interesting about how images and language connecting each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I make the portrait of a novelist and a writer. Mm-hmm. So that's you can see in my archive.
Mm-hmm.
So I think everything connecting each other. And now when I use my painting language, so the concept make me to find the painting language, the lines, but also the line itself give me the inspiration about everything connecting each other, and also the life itself have the time period, the lines. So the lifelines, which I published a book from Japanese publisher.
Yeah.
And also line itself have a rhythm. And also like Asian art is the music and Western art is architecture. Someone said about this interesting topic.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the art, like a painting itself have these two dimension, like architects and the music itself. So I want to discover in that way, and as a like a rhythm and the melody.
Mm-hmm,
so mm-hmm. I feel the new directions, like a new exploring. So that's why I make this topic about this solo show.
Interesting. I remember Onkawara said to me that he thinks that the Japanese art actually is literature, and that this is a reason for Japanese artists to leave Japan and then eventually return. You know, that the sort of the strength is not visual art, and that's why I don't know if he's right or not, but it's interesting to see that many artists somehow take a detour like you did through Asia, through China or Europe, and then potentially return, but that the sort of core artistic power is in literature. But your studio is in Tokyo. So when did you decided to return to your country?
Actually, it's not my decision, because at that time is COVID, COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the winter vacation, I back to Tokyo, then this COVID-19 happened.
Yeah.
So I couldn't go anywhere. So that's the point that the reason.
Ah, okay. So you, and you got just stuck?
Yeah, I stuck in Japan.
And now you just stay.
Yeah, and I also have a studio in Beijing.
Ah, okay.
In 798 Art District, in a very big studio. So, but my biggest one is in Japan, in the mountain.
Ah, beautiful.
Yeah.
So, and you commute back and forth?
Yeah, back and forth.
Okay, okay. Mm. Ah, yeah, so you still have spent half time in Beijing?
Yeah, I also teaching in Tsinghua University. So, yeah, I also spent some time in Beijing.
Okay, great. Mm. And the artist you portrayed, the musician, did he sit for you? Or that also came from memory? Like, was he sitting for you in the studio?
The friend of mine?
Yeah.
We have actually I know him very well, and we are good friends. So, I think the other person I paint, like John Lennon, Freddie Mercury, those images came from the information.
Of course.
Also, like visualizing those information, and also the information itself is like a translation, and many times.
Yeah.
But he's the person, Mr. Yamashita, is also my friend. So it's very, I feel very true.
Yeah.
Like how the musician is. So yes, we have a conversation and also interview him.
Yeah.
Because we are also friends, but I also, before I paint, I have many questions.
Yeah.
And ask some questions to him and know about his personality and what he want to be or something. Then when I paint, I paint alone. So there's no model.
Okay.
But before I do interview.
Yeah.
With him.
Okay. So he was not sort of sitting portrait while you painted. It also in memory influence. But then also you go into now there's a painting on view right now, I think, in the Museum for Asian Art in San Francisco.
Ah, yes. Museum in San Francisco, Asian Museum.
Yeah. From what's the show called?
Byung Hyung Lee.
I find it interesting that you mix contemporary to masters, to modernists, it's very personal choice of who gets the honor of being portrayed.
Also, as most of people, they are the famous actor or famous singer, but for me, it's like a more personal connection with them, like as a friend.
Yeah.
So it's a different aspect to when I see him as a friend. So Byung Hyung Lee, and also I paint Sang Hyung Lee, is also a Korean actor.
Mm-hmm.
So they ask me and also invite me to making the project of the portrait. And also San Francisco Asian Museum, they want to show those paintings.
Yeah.
So you can see the painting is not like a classical portrait, but you can see their feeling in the painting. Because at the opening, many fans coming and they say, oh, that's Byung Hyung Lee. So they can see
they recognize.
Recognize him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's your next, you're already working on the next project?
So next project, one of my collectors opened his own private museum this spring. So as an opening show, they will do my solo show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm prepared for the museum opening show.
And what type of works will you show there?
So at the museum show, because as I said, my every project is connecting each other.
Yeah.
So this show I do in Berlin is a melody.
Yeah.
So the museum one is also connecting to music.
Yeah.
So I hope you can see the connection between this show.
And it's finished or it's still in the making?
Most of work already done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last year, the Christian Dior invited me to have an exhibition together.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the Japanese fashion brand also invited me to have a collaboration.
And yeah. And how will that look? You know already?
Yeah, yeah. So the brand is Issey Miyake.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can, their most famous series is Pleats and Pleats. You can see many lines in their clothes.
Yeah.
So they feel like my painting is resonated with their style.
Uh-huh.
So you can see my painting will be part of their clothes. You can see this year.
And how incorporate, like just prints, or how will it?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I think it's not still not open to public yet, but because the Issey Miyake have tons of technique of to make the pleats.
Yeah.
So the designer said he want to make unique pleats, like a new technology to make my painting on the clothes.
Uh-huh.
So it's
but each time different.
Yeah. So it's a new type of their technique to own not only print, but also you can see some. It's more like a sculpture.
Okay.
So not like a normal cloth, but also the painting, because you can see my painting not only as a two dimension, also you can feel some three dimension.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like because someone said when you have a distance between my painting, you can feel some sculpture side, have some depths inside.
Yeah, yeah.
So they want to make those feeling to make the clothes, because clothes itself is a sculpture.
Yeah.
So make this more stronger.
Three-dimensional.
Yeah, three-dimensional.
Mm-hmm. And physical.
Yeah. It'll be interesting.
So, okay, but it's still in the making. But you also have a very unique color palette, no?
Yeah, the color is very important.
Yeah.
You can see my painting in 2016, and 17, the color is more darker, and the more gray.
Yeah.
So after, I think at the COVID time, I feel like, because as I said, I explore about what's the origin of communication or how to visualize a miscommunication.
Mm-hmm.
So after these, I feel like communication is like a gray zone. When we have same language, but also many miscommunication.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I really feel like a gray zone in those miscommunication. But after that, I feel, there's a rainbow in those gray zone.
Mm-hmm.
Because a rainbow, every color is beautiful and not melting each other. But it's also symbolized hope and a dream. So the parallel lines, the rainbow, also resonate to my feeling to discover communication.
But I feel over the time also your work got more and more dense, right? It was more, the lines get more close to each other, more, there's more density now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Great. Very much looking forward to it. Etsu, thank you so much to take us on your journey and for this beautiful exhibition. And very much looking forward to see what else will come and to see the continuous evolution.
Thank you.
Thank you, Etsu.
Was mit Kunst? Ein Podcast von und mit Johann König.